they're very excited to have Solari on the line at the moment. Are you there?
Hello, Danny. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure.
And you must be very excited with the new book, Crossing the Lines, due to come out soon on Pintera Press.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's always exciting, and it's always just a little bit nerve-wracking as well when a new book is coming out. I always think of it a bit like sending your children off to school, and you hope that they'll make friends, but you really have no control.
Obviously not your first rodeo. You've written many books before in the past, as well as crime fiction. You've also written a fantasy adventure series.
I've racked up 10 books so far.
Wow.
But it's...
so many you've lost count.
it's getting a little bit that way, because you always have books on the go as well. Sometimes you forget exactly where you are, and of course my books are coming out in the US at the same time, but staggered. So whilst book 8 of the Roland Sinclair series is about to be released in Australia, they're at book 4 in the States.
Wow.
So sometimes it's a little bit confusing keeping your head straight on where people are at and what people are talking about.
Oh, are you able to sort of give a brief summary of what Crossing the Lines is about without giving away any of the juicy spoilers?
Look, Crossing the Lines is a real departure for me. My past has been, as you said, in a young adult fantasy sort of Greek mythology-based series, and, of course, the Roland Sinclair series, which is crime fiction set in 1930s Sydney with a very historical undercurrent. But this, Crossing the Lines, is contemporary, and it came out of an idea, just a notion, and often books do, where I was thinking about what it would be like to have someone writing the story of my life. What if I was the protagonist?
Right.
Unknown to me. And it was just that someone was writing my story, and what I thought was me moving in certain directions and fate putting things in my way is some other author's plot.
Wow.
And so just playing with that idea, Crossing the Line sort of emerged out of that. And it's basically the story of two writers. A crime writer who is writing a new series, and the protagonist at the center of her series is a young man called Ned McGinnity, who is also a literary fiction writer. And he's writing a story with a crime writer at the center of his novel, and it's more a literary novel, a descent into hell type novel. And so the text of the novel goes between both of them, and you're never quite sure which one of them is real and which one is imagined.
Wow. And that, I mean, that's obviously a bit of a mind-bending concept, that one. And I think sort of whenever I talk to authors or anything, I think just the whole process behind writing, because I think of all the artistic disciplines, I mean, all you need to do to be an author is have a pen and a piece of paper, but not everyone's written a novel.
True, but I think it's a pen and a piece of paper and an idea that actually draws you into it. A lot of people think that writing is about you controlling the idea, but for me, it's very much like the idea drags me into it.
Ah, right.
And consumes me for that period of time. So, you know, every time I would sort of trek through the literary festivals talking about the Roland Sinclair novels, one of the things I always noticed is what people were really interested in was your relationship with your protagonist.
Right.
And for a writer of a long series, that's a really interesting thing, because you spend a lot of time with someone you've made up.
Yes, and you've got to wonder sort of how much of them is you.
Yeah, or how attached you get to them. So I've been writing the Roland Sinclair series for 7 years. So for the past 7 years, a significant chunk of my life has been thinking about Roland Sinclair.
Do you ever think about killing them off like Arthur Conan Doyle did the Sherlock Holmes?
I think my readers would kill me. I'd be terrified of what my readers... I get letters now from readers who are upset because I injure him too much. And so it's, you know, it's that lovely connection that you want. You want readers to really care about your protagonist. But you also start to really care about them at the same time. And so Crossing the Lines is about examining that line between, you know, literary construct and imagination and delusion.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Well, it was really fun to write. It was a real departure for me. But again, it was one of those ideas that just took off and then controlled me for the time that it had me. And the book just came out. I'm not a plotter.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sit down with an idea and I start writing.
So obviously you would work chronologically, you know.
Exactly.
And I always wonder that about authors, sort of how much of it they have planned ahead before they start writing that first line, or that first line is the seed.
There are certainly some authors who plan everything.
Yep.
And go scene by scene, paragraph by paragraph. And then there's authors on the other end of the spectrum, like me, who have no idea.
And do you set aside like a certain amount of time each day where it's like, right, I've got to write down this many words, or I've got to spend this many hours writing?
Well, you know, for me, I'm still in love with the craft. And I haven't always known I was going to be a writer. I came late to the craft. I was a lawyer in my previous life. So I'm still completely in love with this idea of sitting down and making things up and descending into a world of story. And so for me, the discipline is stopping.
Right.
So it's never been about, oh, gosh, I've got to write today and I've got to get this many words out. It's been about, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to stop and feed the children.
You don't want the fictional detectives starving your children.
Exactly. Exactly. People object. but it is very much like that. So it's I don't know whether that'll change in 10 years' time, whether I'll have to actually put a little bit more discipline into working because I won't be as in love with the craft. But at the moment, it hasn't waned. I still would rather be sitting with my laptop making things up than doing almost anything in the world.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. 10 books in and still very hungry to keep on writing.
Yes, yes. And I hope it doesn't go away. But you never know. I've always, you know, made sure that I never say never. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with plotting a book. It's just not the way I do it.
Not how you do it. Hey, I understand as well as being an author, you also grow black truffles on your farm.
I do. In fact, it's the winter, so we're harvesting now. Or hunting is what you do with truffles. You don't actually harvest. You go out with the dog and you hunt for them.
Oh, you got the dog. I thought it was a pig for some reason.
No, people don't use pigs.
Right.
I think people in France occasionally pull out a pig for show, but if you've ever tried to wrestle a truffle from a 1,000-kilo pig, you'd know
fair
why
enough.
People use dogs.
I haven't tried that, and I was actually going to run my ideas for my novel by you. One of them was about a truffle-sniffing pig, so we'll forget about that one. My next novel was going to be about a lawyer. You might be good to talk to about that one. And I don't believe anyone's ever sort of written a crime novel with the lawyer as the main character before, so I think it's really uncharted territory, that one.
Well, you may need to have a word to Mr. Grisham.
Yes, indeed. I see him at airports everywhere.
Well, look, I think the thing with being a lawyer is it's really good training for being a writer and being a crime writer in particular, simply because you're just taught to get on with putting the words on the page.
And as one thing as a crime writer, do your friends naturally assume that sort of you might be capable of committing a fantastic crime because you put so much time into it?
Actually, you know, the funny thing is, Danny, nobody ever assumes that you've killed people because you write about murders.
Right.
But if you write a sex scene, everybody assumes that you've done it. It seems to be one of the funny little quirks in literary or in literature, that nobody accuses a crime writer of actually committing the murder.
Yeah.
But the moment there's a love scene, everybody raises their eyebrow.
that had actually never occurred to me before to think about that. Because, I mean, obviously both of those things, you've got to put a lot of thought into the crime and, I guess, the lovemaking.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know many authors who don't cringe at the thought of writing a love scene.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, one of these things that we grit our teeth and do.
I'm sure there's quite a few who really love it. Solari, thank you so much for joining us here this afternoon. So the book is called Crossing the Lines. It's going to be out in all good bookstores thanks to Pinterra Press. Any chance you'll be in Sydney anytime soon to promote?
I will be. The book comes out, is released officially on the 1st of August, so a month from now, really. And I will be touring all over the place. But they don't tell me until they've got everything in line, and then they just tell me where to go. But I'll be in Sydney a lot. I've got a couple of events booked in.
That's the way.
Already, so I'm looking forward to it.
They don't tell you because they're sick of you being the one to control all of these mysteries.
Exactly. They're afraid I'll write it differently.
That's right. So, Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, Danny. Thank
I wish you.
You
all the best with your future writing and glad to see you've still got the hunger, and I look forward to the next love scene.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Okay.